Hello and welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very cartoony top five for you. Oh boy.
Steve, yeah, I wonder what it could be. We are counting down our top five animated television shows of all time. You know, it's very cartoony.
God, more than anything, I wanted to smile at the camera with just the blink of the gleam on my teeth. But this was written in by James. So, James, thank you so much for writing this top five in.
And we are sorry for missing last week. So, we have a super-sized edition podcast for you. So, without any further ado, let's start the show.
So, Steve, I'm on this Diet Dr. Pepper kick.
What?
I know, right? It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
I know. But I'm basically a different person.
From what I understand, Diet Dr. Pepper is the closest diet soda to the actual counterpart.
And it's very good.
Yeah?
I like it a lot.
Okay. What's getting you on the DDP kick?
Well, you know what, man? I don't know. A couple of weeks ago, I wanted a different type of mixer. So I went in for the Diet Wild Cherry Dr. Pepper.
Whoa.
Oh, this is really good.
Whoa.
Then I tried the Diet Dr. Pepper, and I was like, oh, holy shit, this is really good.
Wow.
But do you remember that rumor on the playground that Dr. Pepper would shrink your balls?
Yeah.
Remember that shit?
I think on my playground, I think it was Mountain Dew. Oh, maybe Mountain Dew stunted your growth.
Maybe.
I don't know. No, maybe I don't remember this one.
Well, you know, back in my hometown, which is, you know, small town Illinois, this is back before indoor plumbing.
So you're on the playground. It's just you talking to yourself.
Yep.
Hey, Wes, did you hear?
No, Wes, what? Pretty much. But yeah, like, I heard this, and I was so terrified of ever drinking Dr. Pepper because I just imagined my balls just instantly shooting back into my body with like a bullet from a gun.
So, I now have to ask, how are your balls?
They're ovaries now.
So, you should lesson learned.
Yep.
Whatever you hear on the playground as a child is true.
And every glass of Diet Dr. Pepper keeps them going higher and higher.
My God. Thank God I've never touched a girl, because I've been scared of cooties since I was in second grade.
That's right.
My God.
But yeah, man, that's what's going on with me.
That's about all I got to report.
What's happening with you?
I have something very different to report. I am currently right in the middle of this like month-long fiasco that I outlined to you before of anniversaries and weddings and birthday parties and Mother's Day and blah, 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 all this stuff.
I call it the Maybockle.
This is the Maybockle to end all month bockles.
Yep.
So you can take your octobuckle.
See if you're nailing it so far.
And you can just shove it.
Shove it up your opalable.
So I just had my wife's surprise birthday party this last week, and thank you very much for helping out with that.
Of course.
But, so, for those who are not aware of what a turtle race is, let me tell you what it is real quick. So we go to this bar that's right by our house. It's our local dive bar. We're having the surprise birthday party, and their claim to fame is running these things called turtle races. Basic idea is there's like a 6x6 big board, wooden board, that looks like a hockey face-off circle. And then you, like, randomly throughout the night, you get assigned this turtle. There's six turtles. You get up there, and they push the turtles into the middle of the circle, and then they pull the top off, and then they race to the outside ring. Whichever turtle gets to the outside first is the winner. If you cross the line first, you get a T-shirt, and you get entered in this raffle for, like, a trip to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And if you come in last place, then you get a free drink. So you want to be first, or you want to be last?
Mm-hmm.
So it's this really fun moment where I'm like, yeah, go, go, go. And then one crosses and you're like, stop! Jesus, stop! So for my wife's surprise birthday party, had like 40 people there, like coworkers, friends, family, and
homeless dudes,
because no party is complete without just stinky Joe.
Just a couple of vagrants.
Say, oh, is this the old turtle races? That's why I'm homeless. I lost it all on Sleepy Charlie.
Oh, Stinky Joe and Sleepy Charlie, you made it. Oh, is this your ball and chain you told me about, Steve?
Oh, Sleepy Charlie. So So friends, family, coworkers, and then I also got her Nana to come down, her 85-year-old grandmother to come down from Wisconsin to sit at this dive bar with all of her friends and watch turtles run around this this wooden plank. So we were able to rig it so that in the very first race, Nana was in that race. She draws the random ping pong ball to assign her turtle, and she gets turtle number one. So, of course, I'm filming this. And so they put the turtles to the middle of the ring, and they do this little, like, Kentucky Derby gate opening noise. Like this, it's like, bring, chunk, and they're off! And they pull the top off. And Nana's turtle, like a fucking bat out of hell, goes flying towards the outside of the ring. Just smokes all the rest of the turtles in the race.
That's awesome.
And so you see on the video this you know, wonderful 80-something-year-old woman, and she has her arms above her head. She's like, "Go, go, go!" She looks like, you know, a 6-year-old kid just having a great time watching this race. So Nana wins a Joe's Turtle Race T-shirt that we then take pictures with later. And then later, Nana is sitting at a bar drinking a mixed drink, wearing her Turtle Race T-shirt. I was like, "This is awesome. This is fantastic."
Yeah, dude, it was a really fun party. I'm really glad I got to go.
It was so. I agree. Very fun party. Holly had a great time. We had a little, like, dance area set up in the bar. We're like,
"Oh, and the taco truck? Can we talk about the tacos?"
Man, I had a for a party. Had this guy, Mario's Tacos is his name. It's this Hispanic family that their family business is. They set up this little taco stand. It's got like a flat top grill and these kind of, it's like a, I don't know if you call it a spit, but it's the thing like Euro meat is cooked on. You know, like you. It rotates and you like cut it off the sides.
That's the vertical spit.
The vertical spitteroo.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you call it.
One. That's the one. And so they're cutting fresh taco meat off for you there. They make the tacos where they're phenomenal. They're so, so good.
I had 8 of them.
You had 8 tacos.
And I'm not exaggerating for comedic effect.
And just so you know, Wes was the crowned taco champion of the night. He ate more than anybody else.
I beat all the other taco champions. I made it to the edge of the board first.
You did. So we were there. We were there from 7 p.m. till about 2 in the morning. Which, you know, when you rent out a bar, that's you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
I drank probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 beers.
Yeah.
Something like that. Where we're like, "Oh my God, 10 beers, that's a lot." When you're at a bar for 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours, like, that is not a lot of beers.
Yeah.
That's basically a beer an hour. Plus you mix tacos in there and, you know, other food.
Sure.
That's nothing. That's
sure.
Fine.
Sure.
So the next morning, I wake up and I sit up in bed. I wake up way too early. I wake up at like 6:30 in the morning for some reason. And I feel a little bit of a headache. A little bit of a headache there. I was like, "Oh, maybe I've got a little bit of a hangover brewing over here." So I get up. I was kind of awake for like half an hour. I go and lay down. And all of a sudden, the dim light coming through the blinds is really, really irritating my eyes. Like, it seems really bright to me.
Oh, my God.
So I put the blankets over my head. I fall back asleep. This is Mother's Day now. So
sure.
My wife and I have plans to go out to the suburbs to hang out with my mom. A couple other friends are coming with us to go out there. Got plans for the day.
And you're busy turning into a vampire.
And what proceeds to happen for the rest of this day is I have the first and hopefully very last migraine headache of my life.
Oh, dude.
I have never had a migraine before.
Yeah.
And it fucking sucks.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my. Have you ever had one before?
Yes.
How many, have you had it once, twice?
I think
times?
Just once in my life. That, like, a full-blown sound hurts,
yes.
Light hurts. I just put a pillow over my head as I lay in bed, just trying to drown out everything. Migraine.
Yeah, that's what happened on Sunday. I crawled back into bed. I had to call my mom, cancel Mother's Day plans. I had like a wet, you know, washcloth over my eyes because they felt like they were like bruised from like within my eyes somehow.
Yeah.
It's like nauseous in the morning. I was throwing up. And like it was horrible, man. During the day of Sunday, I probably slept like 16 hours or something.
Jesus.
Just because I couldn't look at anything. I had my eyes closed the whole day.
Yeah.
And I missed work on Monday because I was having like residual, like, not, you know, migraine hangover. Like, my body just hurt. My eyes still hurt. It took me out of commission for 2 days. And I've been talking to people for weeks about, like, man, I just gotta get through this couple of weeks. They're gonna be really stressful. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know what? I did not have planned taking 2 fucking days off, like, to be dead. Like,
yeah, yeah.
To be dead middle of this thing. So now I have the wedding this weekend, and all of the things I was planning on doing for the wedding these last couple of days, just evaporated. Like, they sunk into the black hole that is a migraine headache.
Sure, sure.
Fucking crazy, dude.
How are you feeling today?
I still feel weird.
Well, you look weird.
Ah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is it because I still haven't opened my eyes?
That's right. I don't know how you drove here.
It's, you know, mostly by touch.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom used to get migraine headaches a lot when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and I didn't really understand. I was like, okay, just keep the drapes closed and just be quiet. Like, okay, whatever. Now that I've had one, holy shit. Anyone who deals with these on the regular, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
And I have a newfound, you know, sympathy for what you're going through.
I'm so torn whether I want to go into this on the podcast or not, because it's one of those blue things, you know what I mean? It's the Cookie Monster. No, God. The only migraine I've had, I'll go into it. Only migraine I've ever had, every now and then, basically every 2 or 3 years, I suffer from these things that most people don't even believe in, but are real. But I suffer because I suffer from them. Coital headaches. And do you remember me calling you and telling you about them?
Yes.
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 Do you remember this?
Yes.
Yep. For those of you out there that do not know, right before you're about to finish, you know,
you're about to reach the climax of the lovemaking.
Yes. You start getting a massive headache. And the first time I ever suffered from these, I was like, you know what? After like a week of these, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it.
The motor through.
God, my blood is boiling deep inside. I have this well of baby juice just needing release. So I did, and it felt good for a split second, and the migraine crashed in so fast.
So were you basically like that moment in Matrix Revolutions where they fly up through the clouds and the lightning, and just for that moment, they see the glimpse of the sun, like, the real world, and then come crashing back?
Yes! Except there's no fall in the middle. You go like, yes, to hitting the ground. Splat. Like, that's
no free fall.
No free fall. There's free fall's fun. This wasn't fun. I was in the shower at the time. I dried myself off as gently as I could. Kind of like crawl to bed with a towel hanging off of me. And, you know, put the pillow over my head. This was the time I lived at a house with a main road right outside my window. So I had like cars honking. It was miserable.
Oh, man. So it truly is. I mean, it's until you've experienced something like it, it is really unlike anything else I've ever had, because it just like it shuts down everything. Like, you can't do anything. I felt as if I was like a 4-year-old girl with my strength. I was like, here's some pudding. I'm like, oh, the spoon! It's so heavy. It's happening. Why? Why am I this little ancient girl?
This 96-year-old, 4-year-old girl.
I don't understand who or what I am. I don't understand.
Oh,
dude,
man.
It sucks so bad. And the thing is, I called. It was the first day of work I've missed at this job. So I've been there for about a year. First day I've worked. Or excuse me, I've missed. That was like unplanned. And I went back in like, and I told them, I was like, hey, I'm having a migraine. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's never happened before. I can't come in. And they were totally cool. Like, yeah, it's fine. Get better. We'll see you tomorrow, hopefully. And I came back in, like, they were very much like, hey, how are you? Is everything okay? And for some reason, to me, the idea of a migraine, maybe it's just because I always just associated with my mother. It was like, it wasn't like manly enough to miss work for. I was like, guys, let me tell you a little something about this migraine, okay? All right. Let me hit you in the head with this hammer. That's what it's like, okay? I'm a tough guy. I got hit with hammers in the head for hours, and then they worked on my body. It was crazy. So you can all shut up. Like, we're not even... It's fine. Like shut up! I'm going to hit you with a truck! I'm going to let you just put your head down on the ground. I'm going to hit it with a truck. You're going to see what it's like. And then I'm going to shine the bat signal in your eyes from from 2 feet away.
I'm going to jerk you off. And right before you finish, I'm going to hit you in the head with a cement block.
It's going to be now you're going to feel it. You're going to be like, wow, you're such a tough man.
Yeah, that's right.
To only miss one day of work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I felt that need, but I did. I did.
And... Wow. So
I killed all of my coworkers.
Wow.
Hitting them with various hammers and trucks.
I was wondering why you were in handcuffs.
Yeah. I'm blind and I somehow still escaped from the police.
Well, the police in town, they're not the best.
Not Chicago PD. Not the best.
Not the best.
Not the best.
Well, sir, I have some great news.
Yeah.
That I actually haven't told you yet because I just found out a couple of days ago. I got cast as the lead...
In Iron Man 4!
Oh, I'm going to be Iron Man!
That would be the worst Iron Man of all time.
Yep.
Like, forever. No offense.
None taken.
Because I could imagine the preview now. I'd be like, coming this summer, Robert Downey Jr. is gone and replaced... By this guy.
Hi, guys. I got cast as the lead in Man in the Iron Mask.
Oh, yeah?
What's up?
Whoa.
I'm going to be the man in the Iron Mask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to be his evil twin brother. Wow. Spoiler alert.
What?
Yeah, so I get to play the hero and the villain.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, can't wait.
Do you have to grow an evil mustache?
Yeah, and I have to shave it off between each scene.
Man,
and
I hope it grows fast.
It really does. So yeah, man, I'm super excited. It's my first big role in a big show here in Chicago. I guess not a big show, but it's for a theater company.
That's great, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, I'm happy. Going to start rehearsals on that next week.
All right.
So yeah.
Cool, man.
The only other good news I have. Excuse me. It's not really good news. For the radio show, I met this New York playwright called Crystal Skillman, apparently a noted playwright out in New York, but here in Chicago. But she's here in Chicago doing a production of one of her plays, and she was like, hey, Wes, after the show, she's like, hey, Wes, I'm going to add you on Facebook. You were so nice. I was like, great. So she added me, and I checked her Facebook page, 3,500 friends.
So now you are one of them.
And now I'm one of them.
Perhaps her bestie.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
She did tag me in a post.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
So basically, I'm this close to being famous.
Thank you. Thank you. Because this somewhat noted playwright that I didn't know about, that you had to tell me who she was, and now you're her friend on Facebook, and now you're famous.
Yeah.
It's
that's
amazing
right.
How the internet works, man.
Well, I'm also starring in Iron Man 4.
That's true.
That's true.
In the worst comic book movie of all time.
Steering the MCU right into the wall.
Speaking of the MCU,
yes.
We don't have to get too in-depth about it, but you and I both saw Avengers 2.
It was the best movie ever!
That is not accurate.
I don't know.
So, believe it or not, Wes and I have differing opinions on this movie. So if you... Well, there won't be a lot of spoilers, but there'll be a little bit. So if you want to take a couple minutes, and if you haven't seen it yet, please do so now.
I mean, I don't know what else. I mean, I loved it. Everything about it for me worked. I give it a 94 out of 100.
This is exactly where I was hoping you'd pick up. Because Wes and I, we kind of gave our pros and cons of the movies. I gave the cons, he gave the pros on our conversation. And then he said, you give it a 94.
94.
Then I ask, what do you give Avengers 1?
And I said, between like a 95 and a 97.
And I said, what are you talking about?
And I said, what are you talking about?
There is no feasible way that you can put Avengers 1, a vastly superior film to Avengers 2, only 1 to 2 points higher than Avengers 2.
You know what, Steve? Keep complaining. Avengers 2 is going to be a 98 by the end of this conversation.
It makes no sense.
It does to me.
Did you like Avengers 2 better than Captain America Winter Soldier?
No. But I give that like between a 95 and a 97.
What about Iron Man 3 or Iron Man 1?
I mean, it's up there. I don't know. I liked it. I liked Iron. It's up there, but I liked Avengers 2 more.
Man.
Yeah.
I just don't. My gripes with Avengers 2 is I felt the whole thing just felt bloated and a little bit muddled.
It was very dense.
Not dense.
You're pretty dense.
I am very dense. That is fair. It muddled in, like, dense to me means that there is a lot of things in there I want to, like, dive deeper into. And bloated to me means too many things that we don't pay attention to that aren't important.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Joss Whedon had a list of, like, 30 things he wanted to do with the movie, whatever. You got to make sure he's in there, we'll do this, got to kind of wrap up that, whatever, got to make sure, Black Widow gets a little bit of a story here, and then, you know, just like, give some more backstory to a couple of the characters, because they don't have full-length films, and then I feel like Disney was like, oh, and by the way, here's an additional 45 things you need to do. And mm-hmm. He's like, well, I don't know if I could fit 75 things in here. Like, oh, well, you're going to need to.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried.
He
tried. And I understand some of it is not his fault, but there was so much stuff in that movie that I just felt like they tried to put, you know, 10 pounds of stuff into a 7-pound bag.
See, this is interesting because most people out there are where you are, where you didn't dislike the movie.
No.
No. But it was kind of a disappointment for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say that.
Not as good as what you would have hoped.
My expectations or hope going in was, I know this is not going to be as good as Avengers 1. I just want to have a good time there, I want it to be a good movie.
So most people are where you are at. A smaller percentage, but definitely still a pretty fair amount, are where I am at, where we hopped in the roller coaster, and we were just along for the ride, and everything that Joss Whedon did, we loved. Over every crest, we threw our hands up in the air, and we shouted, and hooted, and hollered, and had a blast. And that's where I come from, man.
See, I feel like if you're using the ride metaphor, that as soon as you go over a couple of ridges, and you come down, you're about to make a turn, and you make a turn, it's like, oh, stop the ride. There's nothing. Back it up real quick. Put it back on the track, and here we go again!
I didn't get that, man.
I definitely did.
I did not, see? This is just a difference of opinion.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you're wrong all the time, Wes.
Well, at you!
Yeah.
See, this is another difference of opinion. You did not like Robo Spader. I loved Robo Spader!
No, I cannot get down with James Spader, man.
Oh, dude, he was awesome!
No.
He was, though.
He was.
I can prove it mathematically.
No.
Look at this proof on this wall.
And it's interesting that you and I, the part I loved the most with James Spader is the part you hated the most. The very first scene when he comes out in the not his full Ultron body, mm-hmm. where they're kind of like disheveled, like pieced together body.
Mm-hmm.
That part I thought was great. And actually my favorite part of the movie by far is the very first, that first scene there, not the very first scene, the scene when they're trying to pick up Thor's hammer, like, at the party.
Yeah.
That scene is phenomenal. I could watch that scene for an hour. And then when that, like, disheveled, half-put-together Ultron came out, I was like, yes, this is good.
No, I didn't dislike it at all. I really liked that scene. It was just so rushed. Like, Ultron was just introduced not 5 minutes ago. And now he's suddenly like, oh, I'm going to kill the Avengers. What? Where was this middle ground? Born.
That went pretty quick, didn't it? This escalated quickly.
That's right. That's my only gripe. I love that scene.
My my major gripes were, I think, the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch were almost non-factors in this movie. I feel like even if they weren't in this movie...
What are you talking about?
I feel like their powers were... take them out of this movie. Honestly, how does it change? How does it really change?
It changes a lot. Spoilers. Scarlet Witch is the one that tears them apart. She shows them their fears, and we get some very nice character development for a lot of them. And it drives them apart.
Completely disagree. I think her showing them their fears is probably the weakest part of this entire movie.
That's because you're so dense.
No, it's because it is such an amazing gift to give yourself as a like a filmmaker or like as a writer. It's like, I'm going to show these characters their like an unfiltered version of their biggest fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, what a great storytelling device this is.
Yeah,
and they did not take advantage of it.
I disagree.
What happened when Thor went into that little pond thing?
Okay, that is not his fear thing. That's just what happened. That happened afterwards. Yeah.
What the hell happened with that?
I agree. That part was weak.
Yes.
I agree. But that part lasted a minute, and then it was over.
That part stood out to me as such a... That is the biggest... The ride comes off the track. We go, up, stop. Back it up. Put it back on the track. I thought all of them got through their biggest fear way too easily.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
I disagree. I think you could see it affecting them throughout the next half hour of the movie.
And I feel like they weren't, I guess at no point did I feel like they were truly torn apart in that movie. At no point did I ever believe that they were not still a fighting unit together. Except for maybe Hulk, because Hulk is always different.
Yeah. Well, Hulk and Black Widow were this close to splitting. Thor had to go to Asgard, or Thor had to go take a swim.
Who knows where the hell Thor went? They just showed up and started electrocuting dudes in phone booths. Wait, I had a vision. Where were you? Were you in like some sort of like mineral spirit bath thing? What the heck? Where were you?
See, I agree. Those parts were weak, but I feel like Disney made Joss put those in to set up Thor Ragnarok and the next Avengers movie.
And that concerns me, dude.
Why is that?
That's a bigger concern of the whole Marvel universe, too. We talked about this like a year ago that, yeah, you know, the first run of films, everything was great. First Avengers, fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Second run of stuff, you know, Iron Man, no. A lot of people didn't like Thor 2. I dug it. Captain America, great. But, like, and now they've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., now they've got Ant-Man, they got this, they've got all that. It is, the Marvel universe is a fucking universe, man.
Yeah.
It is, and now they're talking about Spider-Man coming into this stuff, and, like, it is this juggernaut of a machine with all this stuff, so many moving parts. And I feel like they're, now they, it's almost, instead of, like, this exciting thing they're doing of, like, building these, like sending these little things in motion, like, yeah, all right, here we go, an Ant-Man movie. Now it's like, oh, shit, they're up in the air. We have to start, like, we have to keep them there, and we have to start bringing them together, and there's just so much shit, man. I'm worried that all the movies are now going to get this sort of, like, things that get forced in that don't need to necessarily be there just so it's part of the Marvel universe, you know, that it's all coming together in this thing.
I mean, sure, I think that's always a fear, especially with Iron Man 2. That's barely even arguably the weakest movie. I mean, there might be some weak arguments why it's not, but yeah, but I think it's definitely the weakest. They force in so much Avengers crap in there. So it's always a fear, but I don't think it was detrimental to the movie at all, to Avengers 2, what Thor was doing. We checked in with him. He met with Mr. Selvig.
No, and I'm sorry, to be fair, I'm not putting all of that on the Thor part of Avengers 2.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in general of Avengers 2, I felt like it was much, much more of a setting things up and keeping things afloat, as opposed to telling a really interesting story in this movie.
I disagree.
Okay, then we disagree.
Well, clearly. I mean, we walked
fine.
In.
You've convinced me. We disagree.
Hey, look, can we agree that we agree that we disagree?
We do agree.
That
to
we
agree. To disagree.
So what would you give it?
I give Avengers 2 like a...
a 93?
A 91. No. I give it... honestly, like a 79.
A 79! You know what? I can't even...
Seriously.
I can't even muster the energy. Whatever, dude.
Seriously, man. I thought the things I loved about the first Avengers was felt forced in the second one. The awesome, like, group fighting scenes felt like they were out of a video game. They didn't feel... or like, but, yeah, I don't want to watch Avengers to watch a video game. I play video games to play video games. This didn't... it felt like just a CGI fest that was... it did not feel organic and fresh and new to me. And the all of the humor that I loved in all of the... most of the Marvel movies so far, this one I feel like they didn't earn those moments as well.
I feel like I'm talking to a madman.
No, dude. It's...
you're blind. You're handcuffed. You obviously saw the wrong movie. You don't know what's going on, Steve.
Dude, the moment when Hulk jumps into the end or into the plane thing with Ultron, and Ultron says something about like, he's like, oh, God.
He's like, oh, for God's sake.
And then that's a shitty rehash of the first Avenger one after he smashes Loki. Like, oh, Hulk goes and gets the guy and, you know.
I never would have put that together. I don't agree with that at all.
Absolutely, dude.
What are you saying? Ultron was getting away, so Hulk jumped and threw him back in the fray.
Okay, part of the reason it's a shitty rehash is because, okay, same thing where Hulk comes out of essentially nowhere and delivers this catastrophic blow to the villain. Part of the reason it was better in Avengers 1, not just because it happened the first time in Avengers 1, but Loki was so driven and determined and never let up that face. So then when he broke character of just that, moment, it's like, oh, man, like, Hulk literally, like, beat the facade off of him. Like, the whole time with Ultron, he was so fucking wishy-washy on, did he care about people like at all? Did he just want to destroy them? Did he want to enslave them? Whatever it was. And he had all these little kind of quips throughout the whole movie. So when Hulk runs up there and he says, oh, no, not again. Oh, God, not again. Whatever it is, he says.
He says, oh, for God's sake.
Oh, for God's sake. When he says, oh, for God's sake, it doesn't land because he's already done these little, like, off, like, little snide, off-the-cuff things. You're like, oh, whatever, dude.
To quote Ultron, oh, for God's sake, Steve. This is... it was not the same thing because what Hulk did was not detrimental to Ultron at all. Sure, he destroyed another one of Ultron's bodies, but he didn't destroy the villain by any means, like what he did with Loki. Ultron just went into another body. This one body was getting away, so Hulk jumped up and threw him back in and destroyed it.
But this was... that is correct, yes. But it is Hulk doing... like, because that was one of the last bodies of Ultron. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, the main Ultron body. Mm-hmm. The main one.
Yeah.
So it's Hulk, again, delivering the final smash, if you will, on that villain.
Sure, you can make an argument. I never would have made that connection.
Yeah, I just think they didn't... They forced it too much in this movie, and it was so refreshing and fun in the first one. It felt too forced in this one.
I never would have made that connection. But like how we said, we're going to stop talking about this like 5 minutes ago. But why I said I think that you're a madman is because all the stuff that I loved in the first movie, the teamwork that took us, three quarters of the movie to get into, they start this movie with that.
Yeah, and it didn't feel cool in the first part of this movie.
Steve, can we agree or disagree?
Okay. The beginning of it, it did not seem... I don't want to use the word organic, but like I understand over time they've developed their powers more together, a more refined team, but there was something even about the way it was shot. The cinematography of the beginning of it that just didn't feel like it was in the same vein to me. It felt different and not a good different.
Okay. Well, everything worked for me. I loved how we started them. We saw them first as a team, and then they got split apart by Scarlet Witch, and then they end as a team again. I love that. All the moments of humor that didn't work for you totally worked for me. I can't remember one. I mean, maybe there was possibly one or two that fell flat, but they were just whisked right on by because the movie just moves so goddamn fast. And this movie is long. but it's not long enough because there's so many characters in it. But Joss Whedon did a really good job of every character getting some development, or I think the term is pathos, even Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. So,
who were useless to the story?
No!
Yes.
They weren't!
Absolutely.
No, they weren't!
Yes.
That's like arguing Hawkeye was useless to the story in the first Avengers.
No.
Yes.
And to be honest, Hawkeye, for the most part, kind of is useless in the first one.
Well, okay then.
To be quite honest, he really is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, thank you.
And well, wait, are we agreeing on something?
I can't tell Hawkeye anymore. For the most part in the first one is pretty useless. I don't want to make it sound like I completely hate the movie. I want to say my second favorite part of the movie.
Okay.
First, by far, is that scene where they're pulling up Thor's hammer. That part is by far the best.
Yeah.
Second best part is actually Hawkeye. And it's when he's got Scarlet Witch and they're... I think his little speech to him goes something. He's like, the city is floating. The city is floating. We're fighting an army of robots. And I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. Like, once he says none of this makes sense, I was like, you know what, Joss Whedon? That's a moment where I will tip my hat to you. That lands, and that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
That was good.
And I'm not saying there weren't good moments in it. But overall, it just did enough to me to be fine. But
well, Steve, I just wish you could have enjoyed it as much as I did. Because really, it's you who's suffering right here. You had to sit through 2.5 hours of an okay movie. I got to sit through 2.5 hours of a freaking awesome movie.
Of a 94.
There were literally, I told you this on the phone, there were literally shots that took my breath away.
Ugh.
Literally.
God. And this is coming from the man who hasn't seen E.T. or any of the Academy Award winning movies I bought for him.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Okay.
With that being said, let's move on to our readers' emails.
All right, yep, we got some emails written in from a couple weeks ago's Top 5, which was Top 5 Best Things About Avengers 2. So thanks, guys, for writing in your Top 5s.
Before it even came out.
Yep. No, the last couple weeks ago Top 5, I can't talk today, Steve, was our Top 5 Fantasy Celebrity Hookups Over 45 edition.
Yes.
But Michael writes in his top five. Number five is Marissa Tomei, yes, age 54. Number four is Michelle Yeoh, 52. Number three is Ming-Na Wen from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You might know her as Chun-Li, age 51.
Oh, how old is she? 51?
51.
Really?
And looking great.
Yeah.
I would not know she's 51.
No way.
Have you seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. nowadays?
No.
Oh, great.
All I know is she just the final scene in Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme
wearing the
Chun-Li outfit.
The movie that's 20 years old?
Yeah. But honestly, she doesn't look that much different. She really doesn't.
She does not. His number two is Julianne Moore, 54.
Beautiful.
And his number one is Helen Mirren, 69.
I gotta say, if we're doing a 65 and over, Helen Mirren is where it's at.
And he writes in a couple extra notes for us.
Excuse me.
For me, he writes in, Elizabeth Mitchell, Angelina Jolie, lesbian, from Gia. And he includes a video clip.
Oh, you've never seen Gia before?
Nope.
How were you a child of the birth of the internet and not watched these scenes from Gia?
I guess not.
Oh, dude. Well, maybe because I was a younger Angelina Jolie. Oh, man.
Sure.
I loved me some Angelina Jolie.
And I didn't know who Angelina Jolie was. In fact, I'm not even sure if I liked girls at that point. I didn't start liking girls until I was 22.
Until then, it was just juice boxes.
Juice boxes and Ninja Turtles lunch boxes.
Oh, they're the baddest love boxes. Wait a minute.
Hold on. For Steve, a new Selma Hayek movie. It's lots of fun. Serious, dark tone movie that doesn't take itself serious. It's an action movie that 95% of the movie takes place in one apartment.
What's the movie called?
I don't know. He didn't put it in.
Oh!
Michael!
Michael, no! Michael!
Everly! It's called Everly!
I'm done. Watching it.
Good. Great.
Watching it.
Wonderful. Not now, though. We got a show to do.
Oh.
But Duncan Parker Newton Games.
Duncan Parker Newton Games.
Duncan Parker Newton Games writes in his top five. He says his list is going to be easy this week since Steve only stole one of his top five.
Oh.
Famke Janssen.
Yes.
His number five is Demi Moore, 52. Mm. His number four is Gillian Anderson.
Oh, my God.
46.
Damn it.
Have you seen Gillian Anderson lately?
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Yes. I do love me some Gillian Anderson, man.
His number three is Marissa Tomei.
Back-to-back appearances.
Yeah, I guess. His number two is Kylie Minogue. You know, the cami moose knuckle, whatever the hell. The dick cami.
The old dick cami.
That's right. His number one is Susanna Hoffs, 56.
Who's that?
He writes in, I was probably 3 or 4 years old when I first heard In Your Room by the Bangles, but her singing voice in that song, as well as the lyrics I was too young to understand the actual meaning of, made me realize at that age that I was straight, because I was in love with this woman who told me that she'd teach me everything that a boy should know. I challenge any straight man to listen to that song and not have juicy feelings.
Oh, the old juicy feelings.
The old juicy juice.
Get the... Oh, no. Oh, no.
But Brian, our old pal Brian, he goes above and beyond in his top five. He throws in pictures.
Yes. There's no way that whoever that is on the screen is over 45 years old. Who is that?
It's Mary Louise Parker.
Oh, from Weeds.
From Weeds.
Very strong selection, sir.
His number four is Stacey Dash, known for being in the movie Clueless.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's her African-American friend. I can't think of what her name is. She's Cher.
I don't know. I never seen it.
How old is she?
48.
Holy shit.
Just clutching that breast.
If she needs a timeout, to stretch, let me know. I can help. I can support it.
His number three is Kelly Hu.
H-U, that is, not W-H-O.
Yes. I don't know what she's from, but he says, what is there to say about her? I mean, just look at her. Add to the great looks, she is also a good fighter. I love a woman that can kick my own ass.
Some sort of MMA or something?
Possibly.
She's gorgeous.
She makes that chair look good. We're just commenting on things that the viewers can't see. The viewers?
Cheers,
the listeners.
Cheers.
His number two is J-Lo.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt she's gorgeous. No doubt.
I mean, he puts it right here. Mother of two, and she still got it.
I just feel like Jennifer Lopez is almost cheating because she's so put together all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I don't know if she's had any work done, but she's almost like the Michael Jordan of this kind of thing. We're like, well, yeah. She's unbelievably gorgeous. I get it. It's almost not even fun that she's on there. Like, I get it.
Way to go, J-Lo. Way to stay unbelievably gorgeous for so long.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she has invested so many millions of dollars into looking amazing that it almost is cheating.
Hey, millions of dollars. Well spent.
Sure. I guess I am complaining. I'm not complaining except for the fact that I'm complaining.
Number one is Lucy Liu.
Yes.
Yes, good.
Man.
Yes.
Some strong picks.
God, can we...
Strong work, everybody.
Can we say yes any creepier?
Yes.
Oh, no.
One more.
Okay,
I can't get enough.
Paul M. writes in. Hi, guys. Love the podcast.
Oh, that's the how to be.
Hi. Love the podcast and love the topic of hookups over the age of 45. And though both of your choices were great, I believe that some ladies were unfortunately missed by both of you on your list. So here is my top five. Number five, Terry Hatcher.
Oh, shit. Drop the mic, dude.
Drop the mic. Walk away.
Drop the mic.
But
I love Terry Hatcher.
His number four is Halle Berry.
Almost cheating. Except that she's been in such terrible movies. That's the only thing that makes it not cheating. Anyone that's
yep.
in, was it not Phone Booth? Where she's like the
The rescue, the phone line,
the phone, the hotline,
the hotline Miami.
That's it, Hotline Miami.
That's
and
right.
And then Catwoman.
Yep.
That's oof. That brings it down a peg.
Mm-hmm. It's number three is Jane Seymour. Don't know who that is.
Oh, dude. We talked about Jane Seymour. She's
Suddenly Seymour. Ellen Green.
She's the hot mom from Wedding Crashers. She's also Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Oh, that's her. Got it. Number two is Marissa Tomei.
Man, just knocking it out of the park, Marissa Tomei.
I guess, Marissa, you need to move to Five and Out Studios.
My God.
I can give you some emails.
Shit.
His number one, though, is Catherine Zeta-Jones.
You know what? I do not want to hook up with Catherine Zeta-Jones. I want to go out for like a fancy dinner and drink super expensive wine that I cannot taste the quality of, that it's so good.
God, no. Just trust her and everything that she says.
Exactly. And I just want to, like, look at Catherine Zeta-Jones and just listen to her talk.
Yeah.
And then when we're done, very politely, like, kiss her hand. Like, bare, like, I'm going to, like, air kiss her hand. I'm going to hold it and be like, and she'll be like, did he even? I'm like, no. And just run away. And I'm going to run.
And that's going to be your conversation the whole night. Ooh, this wine is, I love the oaky aftertaste. Like,
ooh, you're so pretty.
So, Steve, what do you do for a living?
You're so pretty. How are you so pretty? Don't answer.
But one last thing I want to put in. A couple of people wrote in about how The Raid is an Indonesian movie.
Excuse me.
You're excused.
God.
I'm excusing you. They are not. But to be fair, guys, Steve can't read.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I don't listen when Steve talks, so I couldn't correct him.
The important thing is that the movie is fucking awesome, and everyone should watch it. No matter, regardless of what country it hails from.
Yeah. And what I have to say is, what do these people have against South Korea?
Right?
God.
God, what are these South Korea haters out there?
Jeez.
My God. Guys, thank you so much for writing those in. I look forward to looking at more pictures of those ladies.
Because keep writing in your top five celebrity hookups with those pictures.
No matter what our top five is in the future, please just keep sending pictures of beautiful, beautiful women. Please do.
But speaking of our top five of the week, Steve, what is our top five?
We're doing our top five cartoons of all time.
Ooh,
TV cartoons.
Let's make it classy. Animated television shows.
Excuse me. You know, funny drawings on the flashy box.
That's correct.
That's the one we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite animated television shows.
Steve, why don't you start us off?
I will. All right, Wes, here is your clue for my number five.
I already know what it is.
What do you think it is, real quick?
Flintstones.
No. God, no.
Okay. I'm sorry.
This five is over.
Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, baby.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Just for the record, on my top five, I am not going for the best five animated shows of all time.
Okay.
That is not my top five.
Okay.
It is my favorite top five.
Okay.
So I'm not saying, you know, this is the Breaking Bad, you know, Mad Men list. This is the what I dig, and I could not get enough Inspector Gadget as a youth.
Mm-hmm.
Loved me some Inspector Gadget, and because I love it so much, that's why I never bothered to see the Matthew Broderick movies, because fuck that. No, the idea that the dude could have a helicopter pop out of his hat,
like, yep,
was just the coolest thing to me.
Yeah.
And obviously, Go-Go Gadget arms, Go-Go Gadget legs. I mean, I guess I never really thought about this. Inspector Gadget was kind of just like a dummy superhero in a way.
Yep.
He had, you know, Mr. Fantastic, you know, stretching abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not the coolest level of flight compared to some, like, Superman.
Sure.
But he could fly better than Batman.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I'm sure he could use his trench coat to glide like Batman if he wanted to.
Sure.
He had the super hearing. I mean, and his giant dorky nose.
Yeah.
And what was the name of, do you remember the name of the dog in Inspector Gadget?
It was Penny and Ratchet.
Ratchet and Clank.
That's right.
Man, that was, and what, just a phenomenal villain. And Dr. Claw.
Oh, yeah.
You never saw Dr. Claw.
No.
Just that. I can't even do the Dr. Claw voice right now.
No, don't try.
I am Dr. Claw.
Perfect. You nailed it.
Man. Just
actually, his voice sounded like, oh, Inspector Gadget.
Gadget's here. Oh, no.
Claw.
I can't do it. I used to be able to do it. Damn.
Back before your voice changed.
Back before before I drank some Diet Dr. Pepper and had the balls come back up. Yeah, man, I loved Inspector Gadget.
It was a fun show.
Loved that show. And, I mean, because this was before the day where you could just sit down and watch, you know, seasons you know, back episode back to back to back of Inspector Gadget.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, did Gadget ever catch Dr. Claw officially?
You know what? I don't know. I kind of want to look it up, though.
I kind of do, too.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you look it up while I tell you about my top five?
Yes.
My number five is an old show I like to call SWAT Cats.
SWAT Cats?
Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. This is one of the first shows I remember watching that made me feel just an adrenaline rush while watching it. SWAT Cats is about these two mild-mannered anthropomorphic feline mechanics.
And duh.
Duh. Who would turn into superheroes, the SWAT Cats, and they'd hop in their SWAT cat jet, whatever the hell that thing was called.
You know.
And they fight these giant monsters that were attacking the town. And I remember, I don't want to take a look at it nowadays, but I remember the animation being so good. I was so swept up in it. This is during Cartoon Network's, like, when a bunch of very famous Cartoon Network shows were on, like Powerpuff Girls, Johnny Bravo, and then SWAT Cats. And
Was this animation style more like an anime kind of style or a more American? What would when you say it like swept you off your feet? The animation, what was it like?
I think it was definitely more American. It was not anime, kind of like Powerpuff Girls was.
Okay,
but it was definitely more American. But it was so smooth, and the action was so tight and awesome. And they fight these really inventive monsters / villains. And I just remember. Just, I would never miss an episode. And it only lasted for like two seasons. And I was so heartbroken when it ended.
By the way, just since I'm looking up Inspector Gadget stuff real quick, how many seasons of Inspector Gadget do you think there were?
Six.
Two.
Wait, what?
How many episodes do you think there were of Inspector Gadget?
36.
86! It was a two-season 86 episode canon of Inspector Gadget, which that is fucking crazy. What?
Well, that's back when season orders for kids shows made no goddamn sense.
Oh.
Like the first season of Power Rangers was like 58 episodes or something like that. It was crazy.
Oh. And to answer the age-old query, did Inspector Gadget ever defeat Dr. Claw?
A question that has plagued our ancestors
since the dawn of time. Dr. Claw always got away.
Well, that's great. Way to prove the futility of heroism.
SWAT Cats, huh?
I love SWAT Cats!
Okay, man. I am completely unaware of the SWAT Cat world.
Well, let me enlighten you. There's cats, and they SWAT things.
They swatting flies. That's swatting down balls out of the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy.
Balls of yarn.
Man, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Number four. I'm almost embarrassed this is so low. But it is
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Heroes in the half shell. Turtle power.
Do you remember the rest of that song, by the way?
They're
the world's most fearsome fighting team. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're heroes in a half shell and they're green. Then it's like,
and the Fero Shredder attacks. These turtle boys don't cut them no slack.
Yeah, teenage.
No, we won't cut them no slack.
Zero slack cut. That was before they could say zero fucks given
on the children's network.
When the evil Shredder attacks, these turtle boys, they give no fucks. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, Mom, I give zero fucks.
Oh, Steve, here's a cookie.
Thanks, Mom. Fuck you.
Oh,
I was
Steve.
A good kid.
Yeah.
I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are the toy, the thing of my childhood.
The one toy.
The one toy to rule them all.
The one toy to lead them or find them or something.
You know, do something with other things.
Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, dude. I had the games. I had the vehicles. Of course, the figures. I had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles birthday party when I was a kid. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And what an amazing arcade game.
Oh, yeah.
I've never gotten past the second level. But Still all-time great. All-time great.
Sure, sure.
Who was your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Oh, dude, Michelangelo.
Damn it.
Why?
No, because no.
Well, Michelangelo is a party dude. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Zero fucks given. Turtle power.
I was a Leonardo dude.
Well, of course you were.
It really does kind of make sense.
Yeah.
It really does.
I'm a party dude. You're a dick.
Yeah. And I love swords.
You try to boss people around all the time.
I do. I absolutely do.
And everybody hates you for it.
Yeah. But I get us where we need to go.
Where is that?
You know, places. I'm good at navigating. I always drive.
Yeah, sure. Then we got a TomTom. We have no more use for you.
Did you just reference a TomTom?
I did.
Then we have no use for you.
Yep.
Well, main reasons for liking Leonardo is actually not because he was the leader. Is because he had the blue ensemble. Mm-hmm. Blue is the best color. Mm-hmm. And he had swords, dude. Swords are the best weapon out of all the Ninja Turtles.
But Michelangelo made nunchucks so cool.
I feel like nunchucks, A, you always hit yourself in the nuts with nunchucks. It has to happen.
Well, that's the first rule.
Yeah.
Of the first class, don't hit yourself in the nuts with nunchucks.
Yeah, but then what happens in the montage of that first class? You hit yourself in the nuts with the nunchucks.
Over and over again.
You pummel your tiny, sensitive testicles.
It's like I should have drank some Dr. Pepper.
Just bring them inside and I won't have to hit them with these stupid two sticks with a chain in the middle.
Yes.
The old ball beaters here. Yeah.
But how cool would nunchucks be if there was a mace on the end?
Yeah, and just completely castrate yourself. Way better.
Yeah.
So nunchucks, A, you have to beat yourself in the balls with them. So that sucks. Guess what you do with swords? Not cut your dick off with them.
Well, I mean, you could.
But you don't. That is never part of the training montage. We're like, oh, you want to learn the ways of the sword, do you? Well, first, whoopsies, slice the old Johnson off, did you? That part is not, that's not a part. That's not a thing. Whereas every single nunchuck scenario has you hitting yourself in the dick with nunchucks.
I mean, you've ran all the calculations.
I mean, please, someone show me some sort of training montage with nunchucks where you do not hit yourself in the dick with them. It's impossible. It cannot happen. It cannot happen.
Okay, well, I think you proved your point.
To be fair, you've hit yourself in the dick with nunchucks before.
How do you know this?
Because you have used them at least once, and that has happened.
That's so true.
Because you at one point were a young boy watching Ninja Turtles. That means it is a guaranteed certainty that you've hit yourself in the dick with nunchucks.
With plastic nunchucks on my plastic balls.
That's right. I've done it several times. I did it before I came over here today just to make sure I'm alive. So that's the main case in point why Leonardo is better than Michelangelo. Less self-dick mutilation.
But they don't have dicks. So they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but they still act like they do.
You know what, Steve? You're so right. Is that what you want to hear?
I do. Okay. I always want to hear it. I just always want to hear that. So, for those reasons, my number four is obviously Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And this completely leaves out, by the way, April O'Neil, Casey Jones, I mean, Rocksteady, Bebop, and let's not forget, sweet, sweet April O'Neil.
See, the reason I didn't put it on my list, because I thought about it, is because I actually watched an episode of the TMNT about a few years ago.
Wait. Did you watch TMNT, or did you watch Our Age Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Our Age Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Just want to be clear.
And it was awful.
Nope. Not going to go back down that road.
Don't do it, my friend.
It's amazing. Everything about it's amazing, and I don't care what you
Great.
Say.
Well, my number four is a little show I like to call The Rugrats.
Funny you had just mentioned watching an episode. Talk about something that didn't quite age so well.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, both. That's fine.
They are children. They grow up. They are our future. They aged very well.
Holy shit. Just thought about this for the first time ever in my life.
What's that?
How old do you think Tommy Pickles would be right now?
About 24.
Holy shit.
I want to say, like, at least 22.
Tommy Pickles. So we were maybe 8-ish, less than that, watching Rugrats when it came out?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there?
Yeah.
Shit.
You know, he's probably had sex at this point.
Oh,
he's probably experimenting with drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
with Stu Pickles as his dad? Oh. He sure as hell has.
Oh, my God. That stoner?
Oh, dude. Stu's a good dad.
Yeah.
I would love to have a Stu Pickles as my dad.
Yeah.
I would hate to have an Angelica anywhere in my life.
Oh, God, no.
But I'd love to have a Stu Pickles.
Oh, yeah. You know, Angelica was like the head cheerleader, the head of the pack of the mean girls.
Oh, yeah.
But, dude, I love watching Rugrats. Those babies getting into those adventures, those tiny little adventures that,
oh, man,
for us, they seem so minuscule. But to them, and we see it from their perspective, it seems so epic. It was so much fun to watch. And Reptar?
Reptar.
Come on,
Reptar
now.
Reptar on ice?
Yeah!
Oh, man.
It was such a fun show to watch.
And it was really cool watching it as an 8-ish-year-old, whatever, however old we were.
18-year-old.
18, whatever, that... Even at 8 or 9, you're like, oh, man, these poor babies. I know what it's like to be stuck behind a gate. I'm past gates now.
That's right.
I'm 8 or 9. I get it. But babies, oh, man, that's crazy. You guys got out of those gates. That's awesome.
That's so awesome.
Good for you, babies.
And they bring up these fantastic Rube Goldberg devices.
Oh, yeah.
Like out of baby materials.
Man, baby materials is the most precious resource on Earth. Well, we would love to go explore Jupiter, but we are just out of baby materials. How are we going to fuel this rocket without precious, precious baby materials? You know, titanium, uranium, baby materials.
And gasoline.
That's it. Petroleum. That's all this planet needs. Those things, we can make anything. Baby materials.
Yep.
I loved the idea of the epicness of their adventures, despite the fact they almost never left the house ever.
Yeah, definitely not.
What were the twins' names?
Phil and Lil.
Phil and Lil.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy little twins. The neighbor twins.
Yep.
Little creep shows.
Mm-hmm. And what was the other girl's name? Susie? Was she the nice one?
I don't know.
Who was Angelica's friend?
Angelica was so encompassing as the girl character. I mean, it was Tommy Pickles, Chucky, Phil and Lil, and to me, I always had a soft spot for Stu Pickles.
Yeah.
And Angelica and Reptar. That's it for me.
Sure.
I don't care. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm out.
Okay. That's my number four, though. In the golden age of Nicktoons,
man.
Rugrats.
Love it. Love it. My number three. So this is probably the number two greatest animated show of all time. Probably. But it makes number three on my list. And this is on my favorites list, of course. And this is The Simpsons.
That's my number one!
A very, very, very deserving number one.
Yes.
No doubt about it. There's a few reasons why it's my number three. But you know what? Please, take the floor, Wes, since it's your number one.
Well, The Simpsons, for me, it was a very hard-fought battle for me to even watch it as a child.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, because
a big reason why it's important to me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my mom, for the longest time, did not want me to watch it, so I would sneak downstairs. And this is back in the days of antennas. So I'd put the antenna just right so I could get it. I'd turn the TV on real low so she couldn't hear it. And I put my face like an inch away from the screen so I could hear it and see it. And it was fantastic. I felt like I was doing something wrong, you know? But even then, even when I was so young, I realized that I was getting a lot of it, but so much more was going over my head.
Right.
But I was still enjoying it. Because this show is for children, older children.
Sure, sure.
But it's also for adults. There's stuff in there for everybody. I haven't seen an episode in about 10, 15 years.
Seriously, yeah, me too.
But Golden Age Simpsons were freaking great.
See, it's very, very similar for me too. My mom wouldn't let me watch it when I was a kid. And I don't even think there was like sneaking down to watch it. It was just at one point it started coming on kind of like before dinner. For me, I was basically in high school. It started coming on like the half hour before dinner. And I just started watching it. At that point, I was like, nah, whatever. You're 14, 15, whatever. You watch it. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
So and that was golden. It was all rerun stuff. But it was all golden era, you know, Simpsons that. And I felt like at that point, because they did two episodes back to back. So I got an hour of it every day. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was on this like treasure trove that I just like had been kept from me for so long. And now I was like, yes, an hour a day of all of these things that so many of my friends know about. And I don't, now I get them all, like, it's all fresh to me now. And same thing, even, you know, at 15, 16, I'm like, man, I get a lot of this, but there's so much more that I know I still don't get all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing, I have not watched the new episodes for, what, 8 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is not the same thing to me anymore.
Sure.
But that, I don't know, that probably like 8 years of Simpsons that I've watched, it's just some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen, period.
Oh, yeah.
And it is so ahead of its time for that, you know, for what it is, what it was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of humor is just clearly made for adults, but yet accessible by kids, older kids again.
Mm-hmm.
And some really edgy, fun, like, it's, you know, dark and blue, like, some really sweet things in there too. It's one of the greatest shows, period, of all time.
Yeah.
But I think because it was not in my, like, you know, childhood,
sure,
like young youth.
Your formative years.
My formative, you know, 8 through 11 years. Like,
yeah.
That's when I formed most of my opinions about cartoons. So it was after that. That's why it's bumped down my list just a little bit. There's no argument that it is one of the greatest TV shows, period, of all time. And number two, if not number one, animated show of all time, period.
And, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with saying, like, they pretty much ran the gamut. Like, most of the episodes were very just funny, straight comedy. But a lot of them, a surprising amount of them, had very touching, tender moments.
Absolutely.
And some heartbreaking moments, too. One of the first episodes I ever saw was old crusty Grandpa Simpson telling Homer that he has no son. And it was about that conflict for the whole episode. And it was really heart-wrenching. And I was like, what is this cartoon doing for me? I was just watching fucking Mighty Mouse and now watching this?
What, real quick, what is one of your favorite episodes of Simpsons of all time?
Oh, hands down, besides the Treehouse of Horror, it was when they first got Santa's Little Helper, the dog.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah. Top three for me, for sure, is the Hank Scorpio episode. That's the... it's basically the James Bond parody episode. Do you remember this one?
Mm-mm.
Hank Scorpio is the villain for a James Bond movie, but he hires Homer to come and run his nuclear power plant, basically. And he's the greatest boss of all time. And then he works basically in a volcano. And you get there, and then this Hank Scorpio is having this standoff with James Bond at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Homer's like, Hank, I'm going to have to, you know, resign my post. My family doesn't like it here. He's like, oh, Homer, that's too bad. And he's like shooting a flamethrower. And like, oh, dude. The Hank Scorpio episode is one of the greatest episodes of anything I've ever seen in my life. Okay. It is so fucking funny. I love that episode.
Okay.
Unbelievably good. But that's so Simpsons number three for me.
Okay. Well, I'm going to push my number two and number three. I'm going to push them up a spot.
Yes.
And I'm going to throw in an honorable mention.
Okay.
So my honorable mention, and it didn't make my list because I can't really remember much about it. I only remember the fact that I never missed an episode in the morning was Gargoyles.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
You know who loves Gargoyles?
Your wife?
My mother.
Your mother?
Yes.
Really?
My mom used to dig some cartoons, dude.
That's awesome.
Like, she loved Gargoyles, and I so badly wanted to put it on my list just for obscurity's sake, but for some reason... Because when growing up, my mom used to work midnights, so she would basically get home right when I would wake up to get ready to go to school. So we would have that, like, 45 minutes to an hour or whatever when I was a kid. And, like, I'd be down there eating breakfast with my mom, and we would watch cartoons or something in the morning. So she would like some of these cartoons. And the most obscure cartoon my mom truly dug was Biker Mice from Mars.
I remember that one.
My mom loved Biker Mice from Mars for some reason.
Hilarious.
Even when I was like second grade, I was like, yeah, mom, I mean, it's okay. She's like, this show is great. Like, mom, I don't know. She's like, you're going to watch Biker Mice from Mars.
You son of a bitch.
I have no son. But she loved Gargoyles too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember, I was like, they're gargoyles. But they're supposed to be evil, but they're good. This show is so deep.
Oh, my God. Way to turn the tables.
And I remember one of the only things I remember about this show is when the main gargoyle saved the main woman's life. I can't even picture her, but I know he did.
April O'Neil.
It was April O'Neil. That's right. He caught a sword in his hand, and like he was struggling. He was in so much pain, and you see this trickle of blood come out of his hand. I was like, blood on a cartoon show? What's happening? So, yeah.
It's a good show, man.
Gargoyles. Honorable mention.
Again, I don't remember a ton about it either. I just know my mom dug it, and I was like, all right, that says something to me. That says something.
So Biker Mice from Mars. And what was that other show that was like a bunch of sharks?
Was it just called Shark Attack or something?
Was it just called Shark Attack?
Damn it.
Was it called Jaws?
I was like, is that what it was? It was called Sharks Eat Babies in the Ocean. Was that it? I loved that show. That was so good.
Yeah.
I do vaguely know the show you're talking about. I don't know the name, but I will
tell you.
Tell
me your number two. I will
tell you a name of something I do know a lot about.
Okay.
And that is, if it's not the greatest theme song of all time, I mean, it's definitely up there. I know we've done it before, and it was on that list for me. Because it went a little something like, do 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 do. We'll stop there. That is Douglas Funny starring in the show Doug.
That's a good one, man.
I loved Doug. God, that show was amazing. Like, it kind of corresponded just right in my life as a young boy, just starting to kind of just get interested in girls, you know, and you know what it means to have a best friend and that dynamic in school, and
who's dyed green, and
who is green, who honks a lot, you know?
Yeah, that one.
But like that chorus, and I had a dog, and it was like I felt
pork chop.
I felt there were some strong similarities between Doug and I, and I was also Quail Man, which was a big selling point for me, that we could share that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Doug was just a super sweet young man. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I feel like that show did a really great job of kind of like playing the middle ground, like talking about the Simpsons moment, where like, I have no son. I feel like there was never that moment in Doug, like went that deep, like, I have no son. Mm-hmm. Or like the super high moment of him, like, I don't know,
getting laid.
There wasn't that moment either.
Mm-hmm.
Doug always just kind of played this middle ground of like, yeah, Roger Klotz is kind of a dick. Like, he's not beating people up really. He's just kind of an asshole a little bit. And like,
yeah.
Just, it was more real life in a cartoon kind of in a way to me.
Sure.
That I always thought was kind of fun. Instead of coming from something, watching Biker Mice from Mars with my mom in the morning, aliens driving robotic, you know, whatever against these mutant alien mice on robot fucking motorcycles. You're like, there's so many mutants and aliens and robots. I don't know what's happening. Why are there motorcycles? And Doug's like, oh, man, I had to get my homework done today. You're like, yeah, Doug, I totally get that, Doug.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, my God, Patty Manners is outside.
Oh!
Doug, be cool. Dude. Be cool, Doug. And then part of me is like, Doug, you got to show me what to do here, Doug. Because yeah. One day, there's going to be a girl outside my door, and I got to know, because I'm going to be nervous like you are, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
I got to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God Porkchop was there to make sure everything went right.
Totally.
Whew. Yeah, I just love Doug. Doug is just like the everyman for the, I don't know, 11-year-old kid.
See, Doug, for me, it was a very good show, but I just, for some reason, I didn't watch it that much. I don't know if it was just I wanted that, oh, biker mice are on the motorcycles and they're fighting the robot chickens and the SWAT cats fly in swatting the barn missiles.
Yeah.
I don't know if I just wanted that in all my cartoons or what. I was like, oh, he recorded a music video about patties and mayonnaise on his coleslaw or whatever.
Patty, you're the mayonnaise on my fill in the blank.
Patty, you're the ketchup in my tea.
Yep. Although, I guess, I really do appreciate the musical quality of Doug as well. With banging on some trash cans.
Oh, dude, that song was catchy as shit.
That is a jam. Mm-hmm. Straight up jam. And let us not forget Mr. Dink, I believe, is the neighbor. The purple neighbor.
Was that him? I can't remember him.
I'm pretty sure it was Mr. Dink, the inventor neighbor. That was the like their one dip into like craziness or whatever. It's like, Mr. Dink. Doug. He's like, I was congested with his giant nose. It's like, Doug, I just made a flying trapeze. It's like, what? You mean you work for the circus? Like, no, it literally flies.
Did he ever invite Doug down to his basement? They had a very special episode of Doug.
No. They invited him into his weird, like, inventor igloo thing that he had.
Oh. Doug, is it... Doug!
Doug!
Is it getting hot in here, Doug?
He's like, I need to go hang out with Patty. She's the mayonnaise on my hamburger. Thank you.
She is the mayonnaise in my tea time.
Thank you.
Yep.
And Porkchop wouldn't let that shit go down.
Okay.
So don't you dare bring that into my Doug. Thank you.
I am so sorry.
Number two, Doug.
Okay, my number two, my new number two, I should say. This might be your number one, Steve. It's Batman.
Nope.
The animated series.
Nope. Never really watched as a kid.
Dude, I freaking loved it as a kid because it was so dark and gritty and so different from all the other cartoons that I was watching.
From what I understand, it's unlike Rugrats and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's still good now.
Yes, it is. Because Batman, I mean, the animation was just so good, but like, the stories it told was so mature.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, this is so different than Tommy Pickles trying to climb a gate.
Because this was on like later in the evening.
It was at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it told, like I said, just such deep stories. I remember the Mr. Freeze episode where you find out why Mr. Freeze is the way he is, because his wife is, you know, in suspended animation in that block of ice or whatever. And it was so sad. Like, they told deep stories like that, and they killed people in the show.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, it was for kids, quote unquote, but it was, I mean, really kind of a Batman Begins type, from what I understand, a little bit like, you know, a deeper telling of the Batman universe just happened to be animated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it was so good.
I think I need to watch that, dude.
I think you do.
I think that might be that might be my show without my wife. To be like, oh, you're gonna do that? Okay, I'm just gonna watch Batman the Animated Series. See ya.
Yep. Bye.
I think I might do that.
That's my number two.
Very strong pick. I'm going for my number one. Classic as classic gets, man.
My Little Pony.
How can it not be number one? My number one, the basis for so much actually in my life, is from Looney Tunes, man.
Of course.
Looney Tunes is, I can't think of something that is probably more classic than Looney Tunes.
Yeah. The Flintstones.
I don't like the Flintstones. So
it all comes out.
So fuck that.
All right.
Looney Tunes, I know Looney Tunes, even when we were watching it as youths in the 90s, at that point it was already, 30, 40 years old or something like that?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
But you know what, dude? I feel like it is it's almost like a required reading kind of thing. Like, it's almost like a grade you go through in school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you need to watch all of these Looney Tunes cartoons so we all know how physical comedy works, so we all know wordplay. So it is almost like introduction to comedy 101.
Sure.
And just everything that is in that show is so inherent in the rest of the comedy of our lives that you have to have it. You must have these things.
This is where we learn that dressing up as a woman is shorthand for funny.
Exactly, man. I mean, like, it's where you learn prop humor with Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. You learn wordplay with Bugs Bunny and, you know,
and Daffy Duck and Elmer Fudd. And,
yeah. You know, and all there's so many basic social constructs that come from, or at least that Looney Tunes puts into a way that we can understand as children that just develop more as we go on as adults.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of those shows that I will be able to watch when I am a father with my child that will still work.
Yeah.
That comedy, that animation style, that humor is timeless.
Because it doesn't rely on gross-out humor or non-sequitur humor as some other shows that we could name.
Absolutely.
But it just, it practices the foundation blocks of humor.
Absolutely. And basic storytelling in short-form style storytelling. And honestly, the animation that will still stacks up now and will forever. Because those were... At that time, there was no Pixar, there was no, DreamWorks, and there was no computer animation, period. These were basically the top animators, period, in this mm-hmm. in this field to work on this stuff. Mm-hmm. The top voice actors worked with Looney Tunes. So this mm-hmm. was it. That was the pinnacle. That's where you could be. And it's phenomenal. It's still phenomenal. And it's timeless, it's classic. And I really do look forward to watching that again with my child at some point in the future. It's going to be great.
What if your child doesn't like it?
My child, I'm not an advocate for beating children.
Clearly you are.
But I got to tell you right now, if my kid's like, this is stupid, go cut a switch. Is that what they say? Is that what bad parents say? Cut a switch? Because I'm about to become a bad parent. Because you're a bad child. You're a dummy head, kid.
Steve, I have two facts for you before we go to my number one.
Man.
Looney Tunes, only 2 seasons, but 387 episodes.
Real quick, what is favorite Looney Tunes character?
Easy. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say moment.
Oh, no, give me a moment. That's fine.
Duck season, wabbit season, duck season, wabbit season, wabbit season, duck season, fire!
Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. Ah, man. I don't even know who my favorite character from Looney Tunes is.
I you know what? I really dig... I mean, the obvious choice is Bugs Bunny.
Of course.
I really dig Daffy Duck.
Yeah?
He's so smarmy, and he thinks he's so smart, but he always just falls flat on his face.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
He's so funny.
I think the most impressive moment to me watching Looney Tunes, because it was always... Daffy, Bugs, Elmer Fudd, Porky Pig, the classic group.
And Pepe Le Stink.
Pepe Le Pew is the one dude that, like, once you get older, like, you know what? Now I know why they put you in Looney Tunes. Because a bunch of kid stuff, and then Pepe Le Pew is like, hey, remember these? Like, yes, Pepe Le Pew, you're the best. The awe moment for me in Looney Tunes is when Marvin the Martian creates the, I don't know his name, but the hair, the big orange hair beast guy.
The Snuffleupagus?
The Snuffleupagus looking-ish, but though he's not an elephant dude. Yeah. The first time I saw that guy, I was like, what is this? It's like, I love this character! I love that dude. Yeah. I love that guy. I don't even know his name. And he only shows up for, I think, just that one episode, maybe?
Maybe. He looks like a tooth, doesn't he?
He's kind of like a big, hairy, orange tooth. and eventually Bugs Bunny defeats him just by shaving him down.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that guy. I love him. It's probably my favorite Looney Tunes moment.
All right.
So there you go. Number one, Looney Tunes.
Well, my number one, originally my number two, but my number one now is... Avatar: The Last Airbender.
God, I wish it was back on Netflix, dude.
I know. Steve, I've sung its praises so many times.
I've tried to watch it. I swear I have.
It's okay. It's okay. I can loan you the seasons. But yeah, what can I say that I haven't said before? This, although this show does start out very kid-y, very kidsy.
Kiddish?
Kiddish. There you go. Very kiddish. It quickly moves into some very adult storylines, and it really sucks you in so fast. And thank it better come back on a Netflix for those people who have not seen it yet.
Like
Because you will sit down and you will shotgun these episodes.
I look forward to doing it. I feel like Netflix does a really good job of putting something on there for a while and just kind of like pulling it out and be like, Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want some more?
I'm sorry, what?
Here we go. There it is back for you again.
Because this show does such a great job. I love stories about people learning new powers.
Oh,
and then,
sure.
Like, having the mentors and them, you know, them learning their new powers, stumbling, but then they get better and better, and then they use their powers in different ways. This is a show that is just that.
I love it.
Each season,
love it.
New power. It's great.
Great.
So did
you watch the movie, The Last Airbender?
I tried. I didn't make it.
Ugh.
It was bad.
I heard nothing but bad things.
It was terrible.
As a guy who appreciates the show, I didn't know if you had tried the movie, and that's all I needed to hear.
Nope, I didn't. Yep.
So let me recap my five for you here, Wes. Started with ba-na-na-na-na, Inspector Gadget. Number four, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Number three, The Simpsons.
Oh, God, how's that go?
The Simpsons. That's what I should have said.
Yep, nailed it.
Yeah, that's it. You nailed it. They're in a circus. You got it. Number two. Doug. Doug Funny. That's how we talk.
It's like you're saying
Doug Funny.
It's like you're saying dead.
Patty Mayonnaise. I'm Doug Funny. And numero uno, the building box. The box? The building box.
Talking a lot about boxes today.
The building box blocks that is Looney Tunes. Honestly, if you've not seen Looney Tunes, I feel like that's part of the reason why you're like the weird kid at the playground. You're like, what is wrong with Gary? Why is his parents wouldn't let him watch Looney Tunes? Got it. He doesn't understand funny things. Get it.
Well, my honorable mention was Gargoyles, but my number five was SWAT Cats, my number four was Rugrats, my number three was Batman, my number two is Avatar, my number one is The Simpsons. Guys, as we mentioned...
Well, your number one?
The Simpsons.
Oh, that was number one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you said number two, The Simpsons.
I might have said number two twice.
I might have.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't.
Maybe you heard number two
Maybe,
twice.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
My number one is The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
Teenage Mutant Ninja.
Perfect. I love it.
Great.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to our top five cartoons of all time. There are a ton of great cartoons out there.
There's about three or four more, I think.
When I say a ton, I mean three or four more.
Yeah.
So if we missed any, we'd love to hear the ones we missed. Want to hear your top five. Wes, what's the best way to reach us?
Well, you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net, or probably the best way to reach us, as you mentioned, is you can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com. That is fiveplaynet at the at symbol gmail.com.
Oh, man. Thank you, Wes.
You're welcome.
I appreciate how thorough you were with that.
And that is THOROUGH.
What? Dude, you are a spelling champ.
I am. A literal spelling champ.
Literally?
Literally.
Wow.
Spelling bee champion, 8th grade.
Wow.
What's up, dude?
I got nothing for that. What I do have, though, is my final request / plea for people to keep sending us pictures of beautiful women. Seriously, please. Keep sending us pictures of beautiful women over 45, under 45. I don't care.
Above 18.
Above 18 is required. That is true. There is a stipulation. So, again, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you have any top fives that you'd like to hear us do in the future, please let us know. If you will go back through the archives and check out any previous top fives, let us know what you think about those. Give us those ones. We love to read older top fives as well. So, again, long story short, we love to hear from you guys. But, as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out!